Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all.
Well, hello, everybody. Hail and welcome back to a different sort of layout, a different sort of format, as you can see. Still got the intro, still got the housekeeping type stuff that you saw already. But I'm playing around with how I record my solo podcasts and in-person guest podcasts going forward, should I ever have any. So hopefully for those that are watching this, you know, whether you're getting it on YouTube or on the Spotify platform, hopefully this is an enjoyable thing. I might have to play around a little bit with the lighting, but I kind of like the dark ambiance. You got my incense burner over here, which I am about to actually just go ahead and light, because it's not going to be a very in-depth podcast today. I just have one thing on my mind. I always say that, right? I always say that it's not going to be a long one, and then it turns out, you know, to be a regularly scheduled program, a regular length program. Is that going to stay? Yeah, I think it might need a little touch on this side. This is a cedar aroma that we're burning today. There we go. More satisfied with that. Okay. This is a cedar aroma that we're burning today because I thought that it would be a great aroma to usher in the autumn season. We're fastly approaching what here in the northern hemisphere a lot of folks acknowledge as the fall or autumn equinox or solstice or what have you. So we've got this past weekend we just had the full moon for this month. So, you know, the nights have been getting cooler, the days have been getting still warm but not as oppressively humid or you know, hot in that way. And I felt like, you know, cedar was a good one to bring in to the podcast to kind of usher in that you know, time of welcoming in the days of darkness. Here today with me, I actually got this brand new cup that I'm really digging. This was made by Fjallvatyr Workshop, who supplies so much of the accoutrements that you see around me, including this incense burner, the drum in the back, the little hammer rattle that you see, and some of the other items that you might have seen or have had or I have had featured in other podcasts and other my video content on the Midgard Musings YouTube channel. But needless to say, this is phenomenal. This is my new daily drinking vessel. Right now it's just got some tea in it. But this is a cup that can be used for, as he says, hot and cold beverages. This is a cold beverage for right now. It's cold tea. But I've also got my scotch here. Don't worry. We never podcast without it, unless the occasion or the place calls for something of a less alcoholic nature. So want to talk about that here in just a moment and kind of give you guys something to look forward to upcoming. So at the time of this podcast being recorded, I am in the week of looking forward to welcome the gentleman who has been a longtime supporter and follower of my channel, Midgard Musings, and by default, of course, a follower and a guest also on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. So my good friend from Missouri, Patrick Walsh, will actually be coming out this week. And if you're watching this podcast, he will be arriving tomorrow from Missouri. And we got a really nice and exciting and fun podcast that we're going to be having in person at the Barfield Crescent Park. We're going to be recording there. He's going to be talking about his Heilung experience. So really excited to hear him talk about that in front of all of us and, do this podcast, not in this backdrop, but in the backdrop of nature, or at least, you know, the park as it were. So because it is a place of public happenings and, things, people come and go with their families and stuff. We cannot have alcoholic beverages at the park. So I will not be able to partake of scotch, but I will have my cup or a horn or of sorts with other beverages of refreshments and things. So we'll definitely be partaking of the non-alcoholic drinks, but that's for next week. As long as I'm in the confines and the safety of my home, I will drink and partake as I see fit. But yeah, this is again just kind of like a new and different thing. I'm, you know, trying to figure out the future of the podcast and how I'm going to be recording stuff. I've got some really neat things that other people have helped add to the podcast in terms of like outro content and things that are going to be added to the end of this video, which I'm going to be playing around with today. So I'm rambling on about stuff that doesn't really matter to you folks. So what are we going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about letting go. We're moving in again to the darker times where the sun does not have as much time in our skies as it usually does. Of course, we're heading into that longer nights, shorter days time of year, as it happens every year. And so I'm at least experiencing some things now that one might say are dark times, you know, moving into dark times. But at the same time, they are necessary happenings. They are necessary things to allow for old things to die and new things to be birthed or born and manifested, as it were. So again, there's a conundrum to it all with, you know, allowing things to grow while also letting things die. And one of the things that is hard for me as of late that I wanted to just kind of talk through today and talk about today is, you know, letting go of the things that you feel you have invested so much into, whether it be physical growth of things, you know, whether you've tended to, crops or built a structure, or any other sort of, you know, tangible physical things, you know. There are times, or there comes times, even where all of the work that you've put into something, all of the effort that you've put into something, is not reaping the reward. It's not bringing forth the fruit that you so desperately want to have it produce. It's not achieving the goals that you set, despite your best efforts, despite all of your hard work. And so one has to sit back and decide, okay, well, is it because I'm doing something wrong, right? Is it because I'm maybe not watering things enough? Maybe it's because I'm using the wrong lumber. Am I doing something wrong, or have I checked all my boxes? Have I dotted all my I's? Have I crossed all my T's? And is the failure to produce due to other things that are on the other party's side, right? Is it because it's just not meant to be, you know? Like, no matter how much I want to grow coconuts, if I live in Canada, I'm just not going to be able to grow coconuts despite my best efforts. The ground is just not conducive. It's not rich enough. It's not climate, climate speaking, climate wise. It is not conducive to growing a tropical plant when you're in a northern environment, right? So are the things that we are doing, or the things that I'm doing, despite my best efforts, right? It's just not conducive. It's just not working. And I think some of the hardest decisions that we have to make when we sever those ties, when we cut loose from the thing that we've put so much time into, that one of the hardest moments that we reach is realizing that I can't do anything else. I want it to work, and it's just not meant to be. It's just not working. You know, and I think that so much of myself, at least as the kind of pagan that I am, right, is that I believe that I have a lot of control in the here and now. I feel like I have a lot of say so in the way things pan out. And I'm gonna be very transparent and very real with you guys here today, in the sense that that is not always the right way to think. We don't have control over everything. We don't have control over a lot of things. And that can be tough to face. That music can be tough to dance to, as it were. So the types of things that we can't control are, first of all, other people, you know? And when someone like myself, who is serving in a position of a leadership role within the pagan community, within my own small inner circle tribe, it's not about controlling things. It's not about being over certain things or certain people. But you kind of expect, right, when you lead by example, when you do things that show results, and when you do things that provide a result, right, or bring about certain end goals, right, you almost expect that when people see that, that it inspires them to want to do the same thing. And so you're not necessarily controlling what other people do, but by your deeds and by your actions, it inspires them to do things that align with what you're trying to accomplish. And that's just not always the case. Not everything that we do is going to resonate with people or speak to people in a way that reaches that result, right? No matter how much we try, no matter how much we aim to do that. And that's kind of where things are at for me with my tribe, right? Working hard to build something, working hard to, I guess, you know, and I've always said, if you listen to any of my podcasts or anything on my channel, like the whole like building thing, like build a community, build a tribe, build a this, build a that, right? I use that term, and then I always come back and I'm like, I almost really hate even saying it like that, because it seems so, you know, methodical, so mechanical, so non-organic. But you know, the more I think about it, I think that you have to build for things to be a certain way. You have to have control over the way things are built. You have to have your hands in it. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you want to, you know, allow the thing to grow. You want to allow it to cultivate, and you want to nurture it along its way. So maybe nurturing and helping it grow is better, but there is definitely, I think, part, the more I, you know, think about it, there's more to be said about the whole building thing than I may have alluded to in the past. So building community, building tribe, nurturing that growth. I've really faced a lot of challenges recently where the growth is stunted and the growth is sometimes being choked out by weeds and things. And man, sometimes you got to get in there and you got to hack out, you know, chop down some of that bad growth or some of that, you know, you got to weed the garden. And inevitably, if it's gotten so overgrown, if it's gotten so choked up with the weeds, you know, sometimes you just got to go in there and just start from scratch. Just go in there and say, I'm done with trying to save this plant. I'm done with trying to save this. I just need to tear it down, pull it out, rip it out, and start from scratch. And we are in a spot, we have kind of reached a position, my tribe, clearly folk have, reached a position where, you know, certain elements or certain aspects of our tribe have needed to be ripped out, removed. And maybe that may be a harsh comparison to what I mean by ripping out. It's not like, you know, we're going in there and violently just saying get out of here, be done with it. But we're reading the writing on the wall. We're seeing the signs and we're reading the omens, and we're going, okay, it's time to move on. I recently saw something in on the funny enough, it was on the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power series on Amazon, which if anybody's kind of caught that recently and been watching it, the last episode 3 was the episode that introduced us to the island kingdom of Numenor. So I'm not going to give away like spoilers or whatever, but there's a line in this most recent episode which made me think, right? There's these people are island people. They live on an island, and the sea is a big part of their culture, big part of their life. And it made me think of the Northern European Scandinavian people, where the sea was so much a part of their life, where they would sail and go and just, you know, discover new places, raid, right? All of these various things that they spent time on the sea. But this line in this, this episode made me think about its application and other aspects of life. And the line was like, the sea is always right. You know, and I got to thinking how you could apply that to so much of nature and the wild. You know, the forest is always right. The river is always right. The trail is always right. The mountain, the valley, the desert, the hills, it is always right. Which is to say that as much as we are a part of these environments and as much as we put ourselves into these spaces to, right, to, you know, reconnect and get back to our roots, our primordial roots, we are still at the whim of whatever happens out there. A storm pops up, right? A tree falls down, a wild animal comes across our path, right? The wild is always right, because the wild has no order. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. There, the sense of order, the order of tribe, the structure of like civilization, the way society over centuries, over millennia have developed, the order of the wild and the law of the jungle, as it were, is it's much more fluid, and it goes with what it goes with. And we when we enter into that space and when we go out and we adventure off into these places, we've got to play by those rules. There is no, you know, you don't just I like, you know, the sea is becoming boisterous, right? Or the sea is becoming a storm, and you can't just say, oh, hold on a minute, let me lower my sails, let me, you know, anchor, let me adjust my settings, let me do something to adjust. Hold on just a minute, give me a minute. No, you are now in the middle of it. You know, you walk through the trails, or you walk through the river, or you climb the mountains, and you know, encounter something, you don't just tell a bear, hold on a second, let me get up this tree, or let me give me a 50-yard head start before you, you know, come and maul my guts out. The sea, the wild, the winds, the storm, it's always right. And it kind of goes back to the whole, like, what is right and what is wrong. I mean, when a storm comes up, when a wild animal encounters you and, you know, looks at you as their prey, or if you trip and you fall and you hurt yourself out there because of, you know, uneven ground, it's all these things. That is right for the wild. The wild is always right. It's not right for you. Doesn't bode well for you to encounter, you know, these things, and have to put up with it and have to deal with it. But that is what we must do. We must deal with it. And sometimes, you know, how does this fit into what I'm trying to say, you know, here and now with you know, things going on with tribe, or the tribe building or tribe cultivating, and where, you know, I'm still trying to figure all that out, because it's more metaphorical than literal. But there are storms that come through, and there are things that come through that cause disruption in the flow of things. And some of us in positions of leadership that within our communities, you know, it is up to us, and people look to us as what's going to happen to us, what's going to happen to this group, what are we going to do, and what are you going to do to, you know, address this. Now, in I think a strong tribal unit, yes, those leaders are looked to, and then at the same time, the people that are in that established group band together. They come together, and it's not just on one person to fix the issue, it is on everybody to fix the issue, right? The storm comes through, it's not just on the chieftain to batten down the hatches. You know, everybody chips in and everybody secures things down and everybody gets ready for the storm that is coming. And that happens, the reason that happens is because the trust that is established between members of that tribe, the frith bond that has been established, the obligation that is established between not just members of the tribe, but between the chieftain and their tribe members, and the tribe members and their chieftain and the other, you know, leaders of the group or whatever. However, you know, whatever the tribal structure, whatever the organizational structure of the building or the unit is, I should say, whatever that might be, you know, yes, you look to your leaders to lead, but then you're also knowing that I'm going to be a part of this equation. I'm going to be working. And when you don't have that, when people don't step up, and when people don't, you know, work on things together as a unit, then you are often faced with, you know, decisions to be like, well, what are you doing here then? If you're not going to band together with the rest of the group, and you're going to just be out there flying solo and being, you know, a maverick and being, you know, the captain of your own ship, or, you know, isolated on your own island, then the tribe then has no use for those types. And I think there's a very fine line between knowing the importance of industriousness and being capable of handling stuff on your own. There's a fine line between that and then being on your own and not having anything to do with the tribe, and the tribe not having anything to do with you. That is dangerous. That when it leans on the latter example that I just gave, where yes, you are strong as an individual, but you're isolated as an individual and you have nothing to do with the group and as the unit, then that's dangerous. Your people can't rely on you, and then you therefore are not reliable. And you can't rely on them to help you out. So when things happen, right, where it makes it manifest where, okay, I'm not a part of this anymore. I can't be a part of this. I don't want to be a part of this. That's kind of where things are at for us right now, or for me at least, is that, but I've put so much work into this already. I've done so much, you know, I have so much invested into this. You know, how could I possibly walk away from this? How could I possibly let this thing be the end of it all? or at least the seeming end of it. It's tough. It is. It's tough to separate yourself, withdraw yourself from that. But I think it's necessary. And I think it goes back to where I was talking earlier about how, you know, getting into the times of darkness and preparing for the times of darkness, we need to kind of band together who we have available to us. We need to band together. We need to hunker down. We need to get ready for those dark times. And during that, during those months of darkness, or during that time of darkness, and during that time where, you know, there's not a whole lot going on, we can regroup. We can come up with the next steps, and we can be active in that way. You know, may not be time to get out there and go on a lot of, you know, adventures or do a lot of physical work, but there's a lot of inner work that needs to be done. And I think that that's kind of what's important about the timing of things, where we are as individuals, where we are as a tribe, and seeing that growth through to the next stage, making it through the dark months, welcoming in, right, the winter nights and in the winter months, and tending to the hearth fires, tending to the things that are close and nearest and dearest to us, and letting go of those things that have served their purpose, that have run their course, that have given everything that we can get out of them, right? And if we give without receiving anything in return, if the reciprocity, the gifting cycle, gave up, if none of that is occurring, then that is a telling tale in and of itself, right? If we are not receiving in return the gifts that we've given, then it is time to stop. You can't expect things to happen on a one-way street. You're only going to be moving in a single file, single line. There's none of this exchange taking place. And what's really interesting, at least for me and for our tribe right now, or, you know, in recent times, is that the reciprocity does exist, and it is coming through in ways that I would not have initially expected. You know, I would not have expected to be engaging in the gifting cycle in the ways that I have been, you know, having Patrick coming out. You know, this man has spoken so well of myself, of Midgard Musings, and talking about how, you know, the information that he's gathered from what I do has been such, like, you know, an influence for him. And it's humbling. It is genuinely touching to know that sitting in front of a camera for hours and days and whatever cumulative time spent over the years has impacted somebody. And then in reciprocity and in giving back in a way, it's not just, well, great, you know, you enjoy what I do and I'm you know, sharing what I know and it's benefiting you in a way, but to give something tangible to the man, to offer shelter, to provide lodging, to do the very thing that our ancient ancestors would have done in ancient times, that, you know, provide a place of refuge, you know, a roof over their head and travel, to do that very thing. That to me is like a great way to show thanks and to give a gift in return. Yeah, sure. I may have been able to be of a positive influence for you, you know, in your life. Now let me repay you in thanks by giving you a place to sleep and giving you food to eat and giving you drink and giving you time to spend and giving you all these things, right, that are so meaningful that you can build a real relationship out of. I never would have thought that this would have happened this way. Other ways, J.M. Poppa Olofsson, you know, Velveteer Workshop. This man has been, whether he knows it or not, kind of like a mentor. And, it, you know, he's said the same thing to me in the sense that, you know, a lot of what I've done has helped him, and we've helped each other. And so there's exchange of knowledge, there's exchange of time, counsel, there's exchange of physical goods, of time, of all these things, right? It's a living example of how reciprocity transcends just physical gifts, right? You give me this, I give you that. It goes so far beyond that, and it establishes and builds a really strong bond between folks, you know. And it helps to, I think, assuage some of the anguish that comes along with letting go of things that you've spent so much time, like, oh man, I've spent so many years working on this pot and now I got to break it. And now here comes a cup that serves a much better purpose, you know, that fulfills a much greater need that you can focus your efforts and your time and your energy and all that on. So, you know, I'm going to use like an example of just, maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't, but I'm going to say it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I do these river walks. I go out barefoot in nature, and I get my bare feet connected and grounded and anchored back into the earth. And then I receive those energy and I'm revitalized. And I have this walking stick that I was using, and it broke, right? It snapped in half almost. And it served its purpose, and it was almost hard, right? Yeah, it's just a stick. You can find another one, right? But it's the whole, like, I've walked miles with this thing. I've swam with this thing. I've gone places with this thing that now I can't go anymore. But I had to let it go. It's done. It served its purpose. I let it go, and I sent it down the river, and the river current carries it to wherever it ends up, to fulfill its next purpose. All right, its next purpose is not going to be to provide stability when walking, but its next purpose is going to be to provide, you know, structure or materials for perhaps, you know, a river creature or something to build a shelter with, or it's going to decompose and it's going to return back into the earth from whence it came. And it's going to, again, the whole gifting cycle, I think the way it works in that way, if you think about it, it completes the cycle. So in the literal sense, I've recently had to let go of things that I've put some effort into and that have gone with me in ways that I can't ever forget. Metaphorically, I have had to let go of things and let go of relationships in a way that have hurt to do so, because that has served its purpose. It's run its course. Now, the neat thing about it, right, is that, you know, some of these types of things, some of these, like, relationships and affairs with, you know, tribal members and whatnot, I don't feel like those types of things are like, well, I'm never going to see that person again, I'm never going to encounter that person again. But I think that the next encounter, the next stage of things, should it ever happen, is going to be so much different, because of that rebirth, because of that renewal, because of that recycle stage. If it does, if it happens. If it doesn't, then it truly has, you know, run its course, and there is nothing left for us to be a part of. You know, I try not to dwell on that, because again, the more I think about, you know, the specifics of it all, and the more I think about, you know, the hurt or the anguish of letting go, right? You can get lost in that. You can get stuck in that. You can get muck, you know, stuck in the muck. You really get bogged down into all that noise. And if you're bogged down, if you're stuck in the mud, you're not moving forward. You're becoming stagnant, and you're letting that thing be the thing to control and rule, grow, you know, and prevent, ultimately prevent growth from happening. So at certain points, and at a point, it's important to recognize and understand you have to let go. learn what you can out of the whole thing, right? Which I have. I've taken a lot of long, hard looks at myself, because I am the last person to let anything go, because I feel like there's something to salvage. Because again, I feel like I got control. I have some sort of, I have to have some sort of control over the situation, right? I have to be able to say that I've done everything that I can. And if I haven't, then I've failed and I haven't learned everything that I can out of it. But it, you know, sometimes you need outside third party perspectives to be like, hey man, you know, you're kind of beating a dead horse here. You're trying to do more than what is warranted. You need to step away. You need to move on. It's hard. At least it's hard for me. Maybe hard for a lot of us. But don't feel like you're being remiss when you let go. Don't feel like you're not giving it your all when you walk away. I think so much what's wrong in our society now is that guilt culture reigns and runs rampant. This whole, yeah, guilt culture, cancel culture. There's a lot of things that are happening now in modern time. The way our culture has evolved and stuff is to put the blame on people when there's no blame to be given. It's a fine line, because I think that there's also some people and some approaches to things that remove responsibility and remove accountability. Not a lot of people are accountable of themselves. Not a lot of people are responsible of themselves. They want to put the blame on others for the reason why things suck and why things are bad and why they feel the way they feel. There's a lot of, I think, people who have gotten or allowed, I should say, that there's a lot of people that have allowed their trauma to rule their decisions and ruin their decisions and ruin their relationships. Now, I'm not saying that people who have experienced trauma of any sort are not justified in feeling the way they feel. What I'm saying is that it is up to us as individuals, it is up to us to not allow that trauma to be the reasons that we're a bunch of assholes, you know? That is tough. And that's a tough place to be. That's a tough place to find ourselves in, man. But be accountable for yourselves. Be accountable for ourselves, right? Take up our responsibilities to be better, to be the best version of ourselves that we possibly can be. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be the best every single day. It doesn't mean that we're going to be the best of our version of ourselves every single day. There's going to be days where we really do suck. And there's going to be days where we really feel like we just don't amount to much. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel those feelings. But I think, everything in context, right? Take care of it. Address it. And that's going to be another thing I think that we talk about on next week's podcast, me and Patrick, because this kind of touches on, you know, mental health. No, it doesn't kind of touch on mental health. It absolutely touches on mental health. And I think Patrick is going to be able to really provide some dialogue between the two of us that when we're sitting there getting ready for our park moot while he's here in Tennessee, we're going to be able to talk about that. And we're not going to have like a time limit on things. We're going to just ramble on till however long we want to ramble for. It's going to probably be one of the longer podcast episodes, I think, that are going to be released here. So just be ready for that. It could be, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours long. We're not sure yet. We don't know. But we're not going to put a time limit on it. We're not going to stop just because it's, you know, I mean, we will have the parking to consider. So, I mean, if we start recording and it's, you know, 3-4 hours, we're going to be like, oh, crap. You know, we got to get ready for our guests to arrive. But no, I think there's a lot of things to be said with regards to all of this, right? So, Patrick, you're going to be seeing this podcast before, you know, you come out here or whatever, that's what we're going to be talking about, man. We're going to be actually talking about it later this week. Well, we're going to be recording it later this week. And then you guys are going to see it next week. So prepare for the dark times. Let go. There are things that are coming into this season for a lot of us that are going to require us to withdraw, maybe disconnect, and just let go. Let go of that broken staff, man. You've walked along many roads. You've traveled many miles. You know, it's time to cash it in. It's time to cash out, maybe. It's time to move on. It's time to let go. And letting go doesn't always mean a bad thing. It's not inherently bad to let go. It's not inherently bad to say I'm done. It's just what we got to do sometimes, right? So that is today's ramblings. I think that's all I really wanted to say. I hope you all enjoyed, again, the kind of different layout, the different format. I'll figure out the lighting situation a little bit better for future podcasts, but I think that the ambiance that's set in the minimal lighting right now is good. Anyway, but I hope you did enjoy it. If you did, be sure to comment. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe, as always, to all of these videos. The algorithm is a weird deity to appeal and appease to. And I do my best to try and get all this content out to all of you and appease the algorithm gods in a way that does that. But the way that you can help is to comment, engage, share, upvote, just be present with it. So yes, do all the things. Be sure to check the Linktree link note in the description and show notes. So that Linktree link is going to have all the ways that you can support this podcast and support Midgard Musings as a brand and as a whole. So like, follow, share, subscribe, follow, all that fun stuff. If you want merchandise, click the Linktree link for the Spring Store that's annotated in there as well. It's all there. Just click the Linktree link. You'll find it all. But that is all I have to say for today. Looking forward to the next episode with Patrick coming up here next week. So let us know what you think about this. If you guys want to chime in and share your thoughts, you can always do that by calling into the podcast. It's 615-671-9832. You can write in midgardmusingstn@gmail.com. You can comment on this video. You can at me on Twitter. You can DM me on Twitter. You can DM me on Facebook. Still trying to figure out the whole Instagram thing because apparently none of what I share or post on Facebook is getting out to the Instagram folks. So if you are still following Midgard Musings on Instagram and you're hearing this now, please don't unfollow me. The page is not gone. It's still out there. Just need to figure out some of the technical bits on getting it reconnected to my main posting platform, which is Facebook. All right. So thank you all again for tuning in today, listening and watching. Hope you all enjoyed it. And until we talk again, may your ancestors always smile upon you. May the gods continue to notice you. Take care.